Again, good morning. Welcome back. You and I, sitting where you're at and being where I'm at, never imagined that we would be some 4+ months over from March, right? We got April, May, June, July. Oh, how about that? August, 5 months. And yet, we still haven't been able to get together. It's not easy to say that. It's kind of remarkable. If you would have said sometime last year, you're going to have 5 months where you're just going to be able to virtually see most people, I would have thought you were crazy. But it is what it is, and we find ourselves where we find ourselves. Here's some good news that I found. God's mission, His movement, is not done, is not hindered, is not going to be held back because of this. Just take that in for a second. God's work in your life and in my life didn't stop at COVID-19, but it is a great opportunity for us in this season to continue to grow, to seek Him out, and to really say, okay, Lord, what do you want to do in me today? You can't make it all work, know what's going to happen in the future. We know this, right? but we can focus on today. And so I just want to encourage you today, get some clarity for you, that today, let this be the main thing of how can I be a part of what God's doing in my life, but also even in the lives of others. And so today I want to talk to you about that, because the last few weeks we've actually been talking about the main thing of what it means to be a disciple. What does a healthy, flourishing disciple look like? What do they do? What are the key things? Number one, they live a gospel life. What that means, again, is their worth and identity comes from what God says that we are, whose we are, not what we have achieved, not what degrees we have earned, not how much is in the bank, but because of the work that God has done in Jesus for us and now continues to work in us through the Holy Spirit. How is that helping us to shape who we are and what God's doing in us and through us? In addition to that, we talked about the importance of our heart and the heart of a disciple, and the challenges that we all face in having a relationship is that, one, we got to stay connected to the Lord. We're talking about prayer and reading Scripture, and even talking with other disciples and meeting with them and encouraging them. We also talked about how our life should be marked by what He's doing in us and through us, that there should be a spirit of generosity, of a devoted sense of focus and of who God is, and again, who we are in Him and what God's doing to partner with Him. We should be gracious and generous, and we should just, we should exude, again, this life in Jesus, that what people see us in public is happening in private, that, you know, this character of who we are, again, in Christ. I also talked about the mind of a Christian, of a disciple, of someone who, again, is learning the New Testament, the Old Testament, is working on their theology, is trying to help them apply God's Word, not just know it, which is important, we need to know God's Word, but then apply it to our lives, and even teach it to others. Just take this, how confident are you in that? I know, right? It's kind of crazy, but it's crazy in the fact that God expects us to actually do this. That He actually encourages us and tells us, I want you to teach others to obey me, teach others about who I am. Which means not only do we have to know Him, but we have to pray for the courage and the strength and the knowledge to know how to take that step in other people's lives. Which explained a little bit of what we talked about last week of living on mission. That we pay attention to how Jesus did ministry, and we should do it in the way of Him. That if He was, if He challenged those religious bullies, as I mentioned last week, if He challenged them, maybe we should, maybe challenge them as well. If He was, He met people in their brokenness, still spoke truth, but spoke it in love, then we should be defined by that as well. In addition to that, I want to kind of take another step in living on mission. How do we engage others toward discipleship, toward maturity even? What would it look like if you and I were to really grow in our faith to a point where we could help others grow in their faith? Now, you might think if you're a longtime Christian, like, I don't know, I think I'm just supposed to show up on Sunday mornings, sing a few songs, smile, wave, and then kind of just go about my business. I'm sorry if that's been your understanding. That's not what the Scriptures teach. That's not what our church believes in. But it's important for you to know that no matter where you find yourselves, whether you're on that side or maybe you're, you know, this is kind of new. Like you maybe you joined our church like right when the pandemic started online, or maybe you came like 6 months before and you're kind of like, this, I'm still trying to figure out like what this Bible is and stuff. And you keep mentioning it's like a library and 66 books and all these things. Like, where do I begin? I understand that. No matter where you find yourselves on in that continuum, it's important to know that God's enough to help you wherever you're at. Actually, this morning, and it was totally unexpected. I was kind of actually through a happenstance of circumstances, which again, I trust the Lord's timing on this. I was pulling in, but I got to the recording late, and so when I pulled in, I'm kind of just frantic, like get my stuff, duh, 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 and I'm walking out, and I run into a gentleman that I haven't really seen and spoke to in a very long time, but I knew him from ministry context years before. And he goes, I just want to say something to you, Dust. And I said, what's that? And I just figured it's good morning or, you know, what's going on? And he just said, I just want to tell you that I'm in ministry today because of your encouragement. I was just like, whoa. You don't know how God's going to use your encouragement. You don't know how God's going to use this moment with a person and encouraging them maybe to read a chapter in the Bible with you. And just to seek what the Lord is doing in their lives and in your life and meet and pray. You don't know. But trust in God's goodness. Trust that He wants to do something in you bigger than you can imagine. Trust that even though you might have a broken past, you have a brighter future. That God wants to use you right where you're at, but it's about us faithfully following where He leads. We're called to engage others towards discipleship. And so I want to encourage you. I mentioned the scripture several times in our weeks together, but this is such a crucial text when it comes to the scriptures. And I just want, it's one verse right before this. Paul is talking to this church and just trying to help them understand that the suffering that he has gone through, the labors that he has gone through for this church, is all because what God is doing in them and how much He loves them. But he's like, listen, it's not just about this one moment of being accepted by God, which is a beautiful, wonderful moment, and we all need that. But he's trying to help them understand, listen, this Jesus that is a part of our lives now, there's a purpose that he's taking us into, that his kingdom is coming to bear, and we're to be the people that reflect him. That when people see us, we might be the only Bible they read. When people talk with us, that might be the only time where they have actually encountered God's love and his presence. Not because we're gods, but because as we work with the Lord, as we surrender, as we dialogue and listen and grow, and God transforms us, changes us from the inside out, we become more godly. And so I want to invite you in this scripture to see how important it is in the role of you and me to know that this is one of our major responsibilities as Christians. So see what they're talking about again. He is the one, Jesus, he is the one we proclaim. Admonishing, that means sharing some challenging words sometimes. Admonishing, digging a little deeper and saying, you know, hey, you mentioned this, how are you doing here? You know, and really kind of we're not pointing fingers, we're not trying to make people feel bad or anything like that, but we're trying to help them understand, you know, there's God has made, you know, ordered life, and there's right and wrong and stuff. Admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. Fully mature. It's something that's a process our entire lives. It's something that happens, but it's something that God is doing in us and through us. And here's the thing, when it comes to the local church, whether it be our online community or our All Villages in-person community, God is interested in the quantity and quality of the disciples that are coming and growing up into. How are we reaching out to more people? How are they growing? And the quality of helping them really become mature, loving disciples of Jesus Christ. We need to continue to keep leaning in, because it's not an either or. I've been part of churches where we wanted to be more reaching a whole bunch of people. and it wasn't, we didn't really have a plan, like a discipleship pathway of some sort to help people grow. in this part. We were good at maybe reaching a lot of people. I've also been a part of group ministries that we were really good at developing the quality, but not so good at the quantity. But my most, those years, those seasons in my life that I can look, I can look back and say, I am so grateful for sharing that time with those people because of the joy that I had in the quantity and the quality. And it's like the best picture of what the church is supposed to be. They're truly sacrificing and serving. They're truly leaning into what God has for them. They're praying for their community. They're praying for their neighbors. They're praying for their family, for themselves. And you should continue to pray for yourself. But they're reaching out to others as well. And they're growing in their faith. So two areas to help us in this and what that means to pass on what God's given us. How do we pass this on? Is number one, help non-believers know Jesus. Now, it's important you understand this. It's how effective are you at connecting and communicating with those who are not yet Christian? How good are you at sharing the hope that you have in Jesus? Now, some of us, personality-wise, we're going to just have a natural, we're going to have no problem. We're just going to think like, what do you mean? People struggle with this? Like, I don't understand. And then there's some of us that might be like, I'll bring it up if they bring it up, but I don't want to, because it's kind of like this whole thing, like to share our hope. First thing, remember this: remember the attitude and posture that Jesus had when he did ministry. That shouldn't change, right? Sometimes we kind of like rush it, like we gotta get them to say a prayer or to cross a line, and we just feel pressured. The reality is that Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is the one who saves. We're the ones who cooperate and are the vessels that God uses to help others experience his light and love. And so we might be the ones to ask good questions, to help them maybe go, huh, I never considered that. Well, how do you deal with it? Or what do you do when you're struggling with? And that's your opportunity to share. But it doesn't have to be long. You don't have to know everything. You just have to really, before you even get started, or if you're with a friend and you just feel led, like, man, maybe I should invite them to church service, or maybe I should just, maybe I invite them to read the Bible together with them, you know, read a chapter together and see what the Lord does. Pray. Ask God to give you the wisdom so that you can, again, just like we were sharing, that, you know, again, with all wisdom, so that we may present. So consider how you're meeting with people. Pray for wisdom. Lord, give me wisdom in how I need to connect with them, communicate with them, your hope. Because sometimes we can get so wrapped up in again, the pressure that we actually miss out on the relationship with the person. Jesus seemed to always do ministry and witness to others within the context of a relationship. We shouldn't just pass over that. I mean, that should be something we should really listen to and pay attention to. As some of us, we don't want to risk the relationship, right? So we kind of shy away from presenting things. And I just want to encourage you. One of the first things we have in the scriptures in the book of Acts, it's after Jesus has again been risen from the grave and has ascended, is now reigning with the Lord. And so he's released the church and said, "Go make disciples of all people, right? And teach them and stuff." And so he's given them a mission. And the mission has a church. That's you and me still, right? And so early on, you see in this book of Acts that when they hit challenges, when they hit roadblocks, these disciples, this early church, they don't pray for protection. Crazy. And it's not that I'm sure they did, but the scriptures in the verbiage that we have say they prayed for more boldness and more courage. It became illegal the first 300 years of Christianity to follow the Lord. Illegal. They could be arrested, even worse, killed. They didn't pray for safety. They prayed for boldness and courage. We live in a country where we can freely gather, where we can actually celebrate who the Lord is and not live in fear. We need to pray for that courage in our relationships with our friends and our family. I'm not saying when you pray for all wisdom and say, "Lord, help me to have wisdom in approaching this person," the Lord might say, "Don't say a thing." Guess what? Don't say a thing. You don't know what the Lord's doing in that person's life. you might not be the person to share the hope in that moment, because maybe he's got a coworker or someone else in their life. Maybe he knows the struggles. He's already had someone, and you're just to maybe listen, but pray through that listening. And if God's like, just be there for them, then be there. The Lord says, you need to pray with them right now. Then you need to pray. But pray for courage, pray for boldness. And before you just kind of push it aside, we have an amazing time right now in this virtual world that we kind of see each other on, to take away some of that pressure. Most people would love to be contacted. One of our elders, you know, Steve, who does our welcome to stuff earlier this morning, he always encourages, you know, hey, we want to encourage you to reach out to 5 people. You know, maybe connect, do a Bible study together, something like that. That's great, and we need that. People want that more than they care to admit right now. I make calls and stuff, and I reach out to people, and when I reach out to those, especially where I know that maybe they don't have many people able to connect with, I just know it means so much more to them. I have my 2 girls, my wife and I, we're in a constant movement, even at our house, right? It's like, okay, I'm going to go outside, try not to melt, but just for some quiet time, right? And then there's others of us that are watching that you're like, I'm by myself 6 days a week. So it's. I understand there's going to be those different moments, but we need to take advantage of this time to really invest in others, to share the hope that we have. Also, I want to encourage you to engage believers toward maturity. So we talk about engaging non-believers, and now I want to encourage you to engage believers towards this maturity, towards growing up in the Lord. How do you work with other believers to help them become mature disciples? Believe it or not, it's not just implied. It's not just a certain type of reading. Like it's really hard to read the New Testament, especially in the book of Acts and the letters that we have after that, to not see that disciples are ones who disciple. That you're not just brought into this family just so you can have a family, but you're brought into this family to grow up and help others grow up. It's important for us to understand that it's not an exception, but an expectation. There are some in our church that they just seen, man, they are just on fire in a good way, right? They're on fire for the Lord, and they love others, and they serve others, and you're like, man, they got it together. Here's reality. That's not supposed to be the exception. It's the expectation that Scripture gives us of what the local church is to be about, that all of us are to be working with the Lord, learning to walk in step with Him, helping others grow. Now, it's not that we just go, let me help you grow, but we make ourselves available. We read Scripture together. We pray for one another. And as we do that, we have an opportunity to make an investment. Years later, you'll have someone come up to you like I did this morning and say thank you. Let's get real. Not because you're all that or I'm all that. You know that. But because God is at work and He wants to invite you to work with Him, to be a part of their lives, help them in their growth. But how can you disciple someone else? How can you be a disciple who disciples without a clear picture again of who a disciple is? That's really the main impetus behind this last probably 2-3 months of our messages. We want to paint a crystal clear picture. It's not going to be complete, but we're going to be crystal clear on this. We want you to know what a disciple looks like. The life, the spirit, the heart, the mind, the hands of a disciple, what they're doing in the work in the world, the way of ministry of Jesus, how we're called to pass it on to others. Not because you have it all together and you have all the training in the world or you have all the knowledge, but because God wants you to grow and God's going to help you grow when they're growing. There's something about when you invite someone to read the Bible with you or when you invite someone to pray, you take ownership of that. There's something about that gives us an opportunity to help us understand. It takes not just a commitment to continue to grow ourselves or grow someone else, but the skill and commitment to help others engage on a deeper level in relationship with authenticity and transparency. So where does this fall for you? Where does this land? I pray that you're having a clearer picture of, again, God's calling on all of us to grow in faith, in humility, but to be stronger at the end of this pandemic, at the end of our life, that our spirits are stronger. Our bodies might be weak, but our spirits are so in tune with what the Spirit is doing. So here's your homework. I want you to make a triad. Now, what is that? That's not a gang. We're not going to any Chinese gangs. What I want you to do is to take yourself and pick a second person. And once you have that second person, they pick a third person. So you pick a person, they pick a person, and then you start reading the scriptures together. Start with the Gospels, either Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Mark has the fewest chapters, so that might be a good one to start with. And you read a chapter a day for 5 days, and then you meet, and you, whether it be virtually, whether it be face-to-face, but, you know, keep social distancing, but meet for like 30 minutes to an hour. And you go through a series of questions. We have this all online. We would love for you to download this. You might have easy access via email, but please, please, please check our website out. And I want you to download this. And it's got a reading chart, reading section of how to read and what to read, what days, questions to ask yourself each day. There's only four. And then a kind of a flow of when you guys get together, the three of you. Try to keep it just to three. And then after, say, you read the book of Mark, 16, you know, days of reading, but you do this maybe over 4 weeks, then you might choose another gospel to read, or you might each pick and invite one more person, and then you create three maybe new groups where you invite a person, they invite a person, and then you meet. And try it out. Don't be afraid. Trust the Lord. Invite one. They invite one. You meet weekly. It's not hard. It doesn't take a lot of effort, but you will see how God uses this to help you grow and mature. I'm so excited. I really hope that you take me up on this challenge. But know this, it's so important for you and I to grow and to know the story of Jesus so that we can live the story of Jesus. I hope this encourages you. I know that sometimes I get so excited about what I'm talking about that I can get a little fast in my speaking and communicating. And so I just want to encourage you, one of the real benefits of us recording this is that you can rewind it. Like, you can go back later and check it out and see what maybe you missed. So again, apologize about that, but I was just like, oh goodness, that's kind of a plus. So now for the final word. This comes from Romans, a letter from Paul. And I just think it's so important because some of us might be thinking, I don't know if I can do this. Like, I don't, like, come on. I don't know enough. I don't feel like I'm good enough. I don't feel like I there's got to be someone better to do this. And this is what Paul is telling this early church about, again, them being the people God's called them to be. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. He's for us, folks. He's for us. And he's given everything up so that we might not just know him, but live in and with him. Not just in the future, but right here, right now. He finishes off with this question: how will he not also, along with Jesus, graciously give us all things? So where you find yourself right now, the struggle you're facing, the challenges you're facing, I pray that you'll look to him and know that he is for me. I got this. He's with me. I got this. The person that I'm praying about how to speak to or what to say or what not to say, God loves them and has more invested in them than you do. You can trust him. Now receive the benediction. You go nowhere by accident. Where you go, God is sending you. Where you are, God has put you there, and he has a purpose in your being there. Christ, who indwells you, has something he wants to do through you where you are. Believe this. Go in his grace, go in his love, and go in his power. Amen.